Thank you for the opportunity to learn to grow. Revelation knowledge is gifted us. Thank you for the privilege of learning Christ and growing in the knowledge of the same. Thank you that as your word comes with clarity, we're instructed. With meekness, we receive the engrafted word. We look into the perfect law of liberty. We are not forgetful hearers, but doers of the word. So thank you for the privilege to hear and to receive instruction and to be built up. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last week we looked at week 20, things Paul told Timothy, Understanding Ministry Mentorship, part 2. That was last week. We began to talk about how that Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus and that there were major benchmarks for mentorship in the epistles. And we saw that Timothy, all the life of his ministry, was under training. And Paul never taught him anything on, you know, build the biggest church, build the largest auditorium, gather the largest crowd. Much of what is training is caution. So we kept seeing caution. Paul would give him instructions on how to treat different classes of people in the church, elders, widows, old and young, without partiality. He will give Timothy instruction that make sure teachers are well remunerated by the people to whom they minister. He will teach him honor in ministry, how to discipline elders who are before all. He gave him instructions about his natural welfare. Don't drink water. Use a little wine for your stomach's sake. And he encouraged him. He didn't make him feel bad. He didn't tell him he's unapostolic to fall ill and all of that. And even in this case, often. No, but he just made him see that that's part of mortality. And he just encouraged him. This is a total departure from success motivation, where Paul began to tell Timothy, let servants serve their masters very well, worthy that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And that they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. All these are instructions, and he never told them to fire their boss, because that's what motivation tells you to do. He instructs him to teach employees to serve well. All right. Also, not to take advantage of their being believers. All instructions. He told him, don't associate with ministers who attach material blessings to serving God, but has strong, very strong adjectives for them. And he talked about how company affects us all. All right. He says, flee, O man of God, from these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He tells him to flee from your desires. Flee from those who love money. He tells him things like avoid, things like keep. So all of these were cautions on carefulness. Things and people you need to avoid so you can fulfill your ministry with joy. No secrets of success for global ministry. And he told him to ensure that he's blameless before the judgment seat of Christ, ultimately, so that he can receive a reward for the things he has done for us. All right, today is week 21. We're still looking at things Paul told Timothy. Understanding Ministry Mentorship, part 3. Understanding Ministry Mentorship, part 3. We have seen so far what mentorship scripturally entails. It is no spiking of ambition as some do today. They inspire themselves to reach targets. 100,000 seater. Then another person say, my own is 150,000 seater. Then another one will say, because I am you people's spiritual father, my own is 250,000 seater. And then to fill up those mega halls, they get tempted to start arranging wheelchairs and crutches to wow people and give people an impression that things are happening. By the way, a young man was with me this week who came from one of those cities with one of those 100 churches. And he told me how they arrange miracles and that some of the people they are arranging the miracles with, you know, they didn't pay them well. So sometimes they will come out and begin to tell members of the church that they were arranged to come and act. And that things are really rough sometimes. And he has all the evidences, he even has some of them on video confessing. And I said to him, so why do they do all this? And he says to give an impression that they have the power of God so that people keep flocking there and chasing after them. It's crazy. If you observe that, that kind of ambition is not found in any strand of the letters written to Timothy and Titus, which encapsulates ministry mentorship. So let's examine those instructions again in mentorship. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Brother Paul says to Timothy in 6 and 7, "Wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Do not allow timidity hinder the operations of the gift of God. That's what he was telling Timothy. Don't allow timidity hinder the operations of God's gift in your life. And he kept reinforcing this. Stir up that gift. God has not given you the spirit of timidity. Stir it up. Don't be afraid of operating the supernatural and making a mistake. Stir it up. There's something in you. Bring it out. If you make mistake, continue. You will get perfected in the art. Stir it up. Don't be timid. Don't be scared. Don't let fear paralyze your supernatural ability. Mentors do not inspire fear, even if they must caution. They do not inspire fear, even if they must caution. True mentors provide an environment for your gifts to flourish. True mentors give an environment for your gifts to flourish. Sometimes I travel with some of my sons in ministry. And when we get to meetings, I just make them preach while I sit there and just listen. And some of them, for the first time, you see them panicking and even making mistakes visibly. They're so scared because I'm sitting there and I'm writing notes. And they're wondering what they will say for me to write. And I'll just pretend I'm not noticing. Even when they are goofing and making mistakes, I'll just pretend I'm busy writing my notes like I'm not noticing. Until they get a hold of themselves and flow. And at the end of the service, I tell them, what a meeting tonight. By the time we do two, three, four times, whether I'm there or not, they don't remember anymore. They just flow. I give them such opportunities as we travel all over the world. It's part of what mentors do. They provide an environment for your gifts to flourish. Sometimes I take them with me on TV. We do TV interviews, and I will deliberately allow them to answer questions while I'm just quiet. And then sometimes if they don't complete the answers, I help them chip in one or two things, and they're learning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Brother Paul told Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You must not be ashamed of the message. Don't be ashamed of the message. Much sufferings and mockery come with it. There's a lot of suffering and mockery that comes with the message. Ensure you stand strong. That's what Paul told Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the message. It will attract more. Ensure you stand strong. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast in which is that was conveyed to thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. Well, let us verse 15. This is the,
your voice is breaking.
Is this still breaking now?
It's breaking a little bit.
Is this still breaking? Can you hear me?
Yes, it's better now.
It's better?
Yes, Daddy.
All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to read again. That's where I was reading. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Brother Paul was saying, first of all, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me, because at this time, Paul was in prison. And he was saying, Timothy, don't be ashamed to identify with me. I've not done evil. I've not done anything wrong. I'm just being persecuted for the message. You know, don't be ashamed of identifying with me. That I'm in prison doesn't mean I did something evil. Don't be ashamed, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then he now told him to hold fast the form of sound words. In verse 16 now says, "This thou knowest, that all thee which are in Asia be turned away from thee." Paul's disciples in an entire continent abandoned him because of the message. They left him. He said, "They have all forsaken me." That's what I said at the end of the ministry. It's not even I have kept the flock. It's I have kept the faith. Because Paul couldn't keep the flock. They turned away. They went back into compromise. They went into preaching all kinds of things. They couldn't stand the message of Christ, 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 Christ. They were looking for a message of Christ plus motivation, Christ plus success principles, Christ plus marketing strategies, Christ plus prosperity, Christ plus. And Paul was only teaching Christ. So all of Asia left Paul and went back to their mixture of gospel. And Paul says, "They have left me. They be turned away from me." Phygelus and Hermogenes, these must have been his disciples. So that's another buzz for doctrinal purity. This is what the Holy Ghost gives. Not some vision, not some dream, not some weird encounter, but the word of his grace, the message of God's grace. The message of God's grace. Now notice a fundamental issue here. The sudden departure of many in Asia. Asia was where Paul's ministry had the greatest influence. I'm talking about the continent of Asia. And that is why Paul kept telling Timothy, "Keep your focus, young man, keep your focus. Don't be distracted." Timothy was probably facing this sudden change of followership by many whom he should have known. And that's why Paul had to encourage him. Maybe people started leaving Timothy too, just like they left Paul. And Paul said, "Timothy, look, it's not strange. They also left me. Don't be ashamed. Stay strong. Stay strong." In today's world, this will have been termed failure. They will have termed it failure in ministry. This man used to command a crowd, but now all the crowd have left him. His church used to be big, now the church is small. That's exactly the situation with Paul and Timothy. But it is not up to how people keep the faith. It's not up to you how people keep the faith. Rather, it is up to you how you keep the faith. It's you. How do you keep the faith? That's what matters. Everybody take responsibility for what they do with the gospel preached. But you, the leader, you, the man of God, you, the woman of God, it is up to you how you keep it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Brother Paul told Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." This flows from the earlier chapter. The phrase "be strong" relates with the message. And we all need this very often. Be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Much more, Brother Paul begins to speak to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Brother Paul tells Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." He instructs him to keep committing the same to loyal men. Loyal men. Men who are loyal to the message. Not some shifting fellow. A person that is always shifting. Today he will tell you salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone in Christ. Tomorrow he will tell you, but there are some things you have to do to keep it. Next tomorrow, he will tell you Christ has done it all. Another tomorrow, he will tell you there are certain dimensions, there are portals, and there are certain depths and realms. Next tomorrow, he will tell you Christ has done it all. Another tomorrow, he will tell you walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he will not quote the next verse. He's just shifty. Today, he will tell you the grace of Jesus is more than enough. Tomorrow, he will tell you there's a second work of grace. There are things you must do in order for you. Some shifty fellow, a person that is not persuaded, a person that is off and on, You don't even know where he belongs. You're not even sure of his loyalty. Is he loyal to the word of God? Is he loyal to his dreams? Is he loyal to his childhood fantasies? Is he loyal to some religious affiliation? Where is his loyalty? You can't even tell. He's just a shifty person. And there are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people like that. Some of them were people that joined me to preach Christ when I started over 10 years ago. They thought it was a move and a wave. They jumped in and followed the bandwagon. And they discovered all I was focused on is Christ, Christ, Christ. Then trouble started. When I started saying there's no tithe, you don't sow a seed to get something, they abandoned me. All of them went back. They said they're not preaching Christ again. They are not preaching Christ. Which kind of Christ message am I preaching? Some of them started insulting me and started casting aspersions and started speaking low of me. I wasn't moved. None of them called me. I knew why I was preaching what I'm preaching. They didn't know why they were preaching. They just jumped and followed the bandwagon without any genuine conviction. That's why they didn't last. Some of them now are back to collecting tithes with a lot of threats, worse than before. Some of them are back to all kinds of seed formulas. Some of them are all back to all kinds of things. I was telling one of my sons this week, I'm not sure of your convictions, no matter your insight into the Christ message, if you have not defeated Mammon. If you and Mammon are still fighting, you have not seen Christ. Any preacher that is still fighting with Mammon, struggling with Mammon, that cannot abandon Mammon, that is still holding onto the props of Mammon, he has not understood Christ. Forget about his exegesis. He has not understood Christ. When you truly understand Christ, the first thing that you defeat is Mammon. Because the only thing competing for God's place in your life is Mammon. You cannot serve God and Mammon. The only thing the Bible says you cannot serve together with God is Mammon. So a preacher, I don't care how much you're being exegesis. If you have not defeated Mammon, if you're still preaching this transactionary gospel, you're still proposing prosperity as a gospel. You're still doing all the crazy things. You've not understood Christ. You're just doing damage control. That's all you're doing, damage control. You're looking for make people think of preaching Christ. But through the door, you're still doing the whole manipulative structure. The proof of true conviction is Mammon is defeated. Secondly, your loyalty to the fidelity of Scripture. You're willing to teach the Scriptures. What is wrong, you're willing to apologize and make it right. That's proof that I'm persuaded about the gospel of Christ. So indeed, or if it was you that people suddenly left you, people will say you have failed. They will say you have failed. But 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul told Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. The things you have heard of me, commit to faithful men. Faithful men are those that will be able to teach others also. So he gives him instruction to keep committing the message to loyal men. This is an important aspect of leadership. A leader must know and recognize men. A leader must know and recognize faithful men. That's a good leader. You must be able to look at people and know who can be faithful and who will not be faithful. The message works better with faithful people. And this makes sense in the apparent apostasy happening to the Pauline revelation. Somebody will stand up without fear and respect and say God told him that what Paul preached was from his own mouth. It was not from Jesus. What audacity is that? Somebody will stand up and say the revelations of Paul are kindergarten revelations. God has shown him bigger things than Paul. And he wrote a book. And in the book, he wrote a chapter on feet washing. That is one other revelation God gave him that he didn't give to Paul. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That one revelation God gave him that Paul didn't have is feet washing. What audacity. What audacity. One of my long friends I've been showed up today in church services. You have just they are not even baby Christians. They are infant Christians. They are infant gods. They're not even, these are people who used to think were supermen that sleep with God and talk with God night and day. We just know that these are infants. These are not just babies. These are infants. How can a man say if you don't pay tithe, you go to hell, full stop? Even baby Christians know better than that. How can a man say Job did not secure his prosperity because he didn't pay tithe? The other man looked at me and said, Davina, you're very wicked. You just say, okay, did he pay tithe for him to be restored? So I looked at the man of God. I was just looking at him because I just finished preaching. I'm still charging. So I just kept quiet. I was looking at him and he was preaching to me. The best I could do was just to laugh. I tell you, your mouth is bad. How can you say these fathers of faith are not babies, they are infants? How can you say that kind of thing? So we had a laugh after service. We need faithful people who will stick to the message. Not people that are preaching it just for circumstances, but they are fully persuaded in and out of season. When it is rough, when it is good, they are still preaching the same thing. They are not shifting grounds at all. Those are the people that are the true apostles of Jesus Christ. And this is needed in mentorship. This is needed in mentorship. You have no idea how many pastors come to me and say to me, even when we get tempted not to preach the Christ message because of trials and we think of you, we are fired up. When we think of you and we imagine the kind of persecution you are having on a global scale, our own is just at a local space within our city, we tell ourselves we have no excuse, we have to stay with this message. A mentor must be seen to stay consistent, so those who look up to you will be encouraged to be consistent with the message. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Brother Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that walks and plate himself with the affairs of war, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Hardness here again relates to the message and not any other. Endure hardness where the gospel is concerned. There are too many fair weather will be seen when hardship is seen. Persecutions, difficulty, lack of support. When those things show up, that's when we know those who are genuine and those who are just fair weather. That's when we know. That's when we know. And then this man of God who said God showed him feet washing as a revelation to him before. You see, another one that God gave him that Paul never saw and never came close to is mystery of the anointing oil. I'm sure Brother Paul would just look at him in heaven and shake his head like, this boy. This boy loves God. Brother Paul, just look at him and say, oil. Oil is what you call a mystery. He even wrote a book with it. I have like 3 copies of the book. Everything I'm saying, I have all the books. I read them line upon line. I can preach it for you word for word as if I'm the one who wrote it. I know all those books. I have them even there in my office. It never existed. We can photocopy it and give them a copy. People must admit to their wrongdoings, apologize properly, and not pretend that it never happened. That's leadership. That's proper mentorship. And then he wrote another one. He said, apart from feet washing and mystery of the anointed oil, another revelation that Jesus didn't give to Brother Paul, James, John, all the apostles of the Lamb could not access this realm. It is the mystery of blood of sprinkling, where you pour ribena in water, in a bottle, and begin to spray it all over your house. And when the angel of death shall see that blood, it will pass over. Wonderful. Better one than God didn't show Paul. I would die to talk about this one of these days. That Paul didn't, Jesus didn't show Paul. Paul, they were too small to see this mystery. It's the mystery of mantle. That's dirty handkerchief. God didn't show Paul handkerchief. No power. Handkerchief, oil, anointing oil, handkerchief, feet washing. These are mysteries. And you cannot see it until God opens your eye because they are very deep, wonderful. So, well, we live in very exciting times, very, very exciting times. And the world is beginning to see, even those who are not sick, they are beginning to see the emptiness that is in those messages. There's no reality in it. So as a good child, must endure, not for success, but you endure to please Christ. You're not enduring so you can succeed, in quote, but you're enduring so you can please him that has called you or chosen you to be a soldier. Because that's 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. That he may please him who has chosen him to be. So we endure so we can succeed. We endure so we can please Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7.
The signal is starting up again.
The Lord is standing in all things. Remember that he.
Papa, can you hear me, sir?
Was raised to my gospel. He reminds him of this in simple terms. Very simple terms. Pastor John, can you hear me?
Can you hear me, sir? Yeah, this is acting up again. Yes, sir.
You know, the kind of rains that are falling in my city is like the flood of Noah. That's why even in service sometimes the network is shaking because sometimes the rains come like a flood all over the place and they tamper with network. Even this night we had some heavy cut and duck situation. Very true, Sister Flora.
Oh,
so but can you hear me now?
Yes, it's better now.
Okay, very good. Very good. You must endure not for success, but to please Christ. You're not just enduring so you can, you know, become the most powerful man of God, have the greatest cars, and you're enduring persecution so you can please him that has chosen you to be a soldier. In 2 Corinthians, Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He reminds him of the message in its simple terms. Many times, mentors ensure they give you very brief mission statements of the gospel. Very brief mission statements of the gospel. Many times, mentors ensure that they give you very brief mission statements of the gospel. Summations of all that is taught and believed. Summation of all that is taught and believed. Summation. So we never lose focus. Pastor Sean, are you hearing me?
Very faintly,
Pastor
Papa.
Sean. All right.
Yeah, you were saying that summation of all that is taught.
Yes. Many times, mentors Ensure they give you very brief mission statements of the gospel. Summations of all that is taught and believed. So we never lose focus. Summations of all that is taught and believed. So we never lose focus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Brother Paul tells Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. He is saying you must ensure you make the defense of the message very often before the church. Very often, you must make that defense. Me, in every service, you see me, I'm making defense. Very often, you need to keep making a defense of the message. The term study here means be eager, work hard, be diligent. Be diligent, spudazo. Because a man of God easily loses zeal amid difficulties and hardship. When things are tough, when things are difficult, a man of God that is not careful can suddenly lose zeal. Suddenly. I've seen ministers of the gospel that has been in ministry for many years, all of a sudden just walk away from the pulpit. Discouraged. So it's easy to lose zeal, especially when you are persecuted, when you are being maligned, and you are being painted like a black sheep. If you are not a careful person, if you have not calculated all of that before you embarked on the journey, you can be so discouraged that you just walk away from the pulpit. You walk away because, first of all, you know what you know and you know where you're going. The only people that are the losers for it is the body of Christ. But then that's selfishness, you know, because then you deprive the people of God the ministry that you had for his body. But you see, people can get so discouraged, very discouraged, when the persecution is intense and they are not paying attention to their time of fellowship with God. You must be diligent in teaching and be much more precise and strong on what you believe. You must be much more precise and strong on what you believe. Beware of wrong doctrine. Don't tolerate them. Shun them. Don't respect them. Don't quote them. Don't reference them. Shun them. Have a complete disregard for them. Complete disregard. You know, what you admire, you attract. Don't admire it for any reason. Wrong doctrine? Don't respect it. Don't quote them. Don't even look at it. Stay away from it. It is safe for you. It is very safe for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Brother Paul tells Timothy, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, heart with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. The word there is the word flee. Flee. Run from your own desires. Flee. Run from your own desires. A mentor keeps your focus on self-control. A mentor will always keep your focus on self-control, contentment, contentment, godliness with contentment. A mentor keeps your focus, keeps you focused on self-control. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 to 23 to 25, 2 Timothy 2, 23 to 25, Brother Paul says to Timothy, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. What Paul was telling Timothy is avoid stupid discussions, subjects that mean nothing in the gospel. Avoid them. However, endure to teach your opponents. Endure to teach your opponents. Avoid stupid discussions, subjects that mean nothing in the gospel. Then endure to teach your opponents. Do not squeal at the chance to let them see the truth of God's word. You must not shy away at the chance to let them see the truth of God's word, but do it in meekness and not with I know more than you attitude. Do it in meekness. Always you have the opportunity. Do it in meekness. Note once again, we see mentoring. In mentoring, number one, there are no quick fixes. In mentoring, number one, there are no quick fixes. There's no gathering of crowds mentioned in mentoring. No gathering of crowds, no giving of targets mentioned. Number two, in mentoring, no acquiring of assets mentioned. No acquiring of assets mentioned in mentoring. It appears unlike the earlier later. The second focuses more on consistency. Second Timothy focuses more on the consistency of a minister. Many of us need mentors. They keep us in the faith. They keep us in the truth of the gospel. A mentor will help you not to get ahead of yourself. And a mentor will help you not to fuel your ambitions. A mentor will help you to be contented. A mentor will help you to be resilient and to stay focused, to avoid distractions, and to last and last and last. Ministry is supposed to last and last. And staying power in ministry is prayer and proper counsel. And that's what a mentor does for a mentee. Glory to God. Father, I pray for this class tonight, that these instructions will resonate in our thoughts and mind and heart. Thank you for this call. Thank you for the mandate. Thank you for instructions. Thank you for equipping. Thank you for building an army of men and women here that will stand with the gospel and defend it, that will proclaim it and preach it on the mountaintops, that through each one of them, men will hear the gospel and turn to the glorious light. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for the privilege of collaborating together with you in reaching the whole world with the truth of the gospel. I pray that each leader here is kept, each mentee here is comforted by the Holy Ghost, kept and preserved. You are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. You enjoy the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is well with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, take the assignment for the week. Assignments for the week. Briefly identify the role of mentors in this teaching. Briefly identify the role of mentors in this teaching. Briefly identify the role of mentors in this teaching. Number two, what would you term success or failure according to Paul's instruction to Timothy? What will you term success or failure according to Paul's instructions to Timothy in this teaching? What will you term success or failure according to Paul's instructions to Timothy in this teaching? Number three, what vital virtue can you identify from the teaching? What vital virtue can you identify from the teaching that can help you as a minister in the midst of hardship? What vital virtue can you identify from the teaching that can help you as a minister in the midst of hardship, in the midst of distractions, or even a reduction in those who attend your services, or even a reduction in those who attend your services? I go over the two questions quickly. Number one, briefly identify the role of mentors in this teaching. Number two, what would you term success or failure according to Paul's instructions to Timothy in this teaching? Number three, what vital virtue can you identify from the teaching that can help you as a minister in the midst of hardship, distractions, or even a reduction in those who attend your services? Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Shen, that's it from me. If there are questions, I'm open to answer them.
All right.